Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies, and it's time for another podcast. It's exciting to be talking with two of our social and emotional counselors with the Classical Academies as we talk about Mental Health Awareness Month. So welcome to the program, Alyssa Adkins and Chad Chandler.
Good morning.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So Alyssa, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then Chad, please follow.
Awesome. Of course. So I am Alyssa Adkins. I'm the school counselor at Classical Academy Middle School, and I've been there for, I'm on my sixth year now, and it's been just such a pleasure being in this role and supporting students in middle school.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, my name is Chad Chandler, and thanks again for having us on. I am the school counselor for TCA Bear Valley, kindergarten to eighth grade, and I just find a lot of joy in helping people and helping kids and helping families change behavior to make their lives just a little bit better.
Awesome. So Alyssa's been here for 6 years. Chad, how long have you been with us?
I have been 5 years in October.
Awesome. Wow. Time flies for you guys. That's great.
Yeah.
What is mental health, and what is Mental Health Awareness Month?
So mental health, it refers to the maintenance of successful, healthy mental activities, kind of like you would have a physical health. It's just the mental health of your body, of your mind, I mean. Mm-hmm. And it refers to the maintenance of that, the upkeep of it. So just like we have physical health, we also have mental health. So what Mental Health Awareness Month is, it's a time of the year to really try to bring the understanding of mental health to the forefront. And it all started in the United States in 1949. And it began by the Mental Health America. It's the MHA organization. Then in the beginning in 1949, they were also known as the National Association for Mental Health. But basically, Mental Health Awareness Month is observed by media, local news, local events, and different screenings that are shown. In mid-March, the MHA release a toolkit of materials to guide the preparation for mental health awareness. And every single year, there's a different topic, a different focus for that year's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah. So really the purpose of Mental Health Awareness Month is just to bring awareness to the importance of our mental health. Like Chad said, just like we have a physical health, we also have a mental health, and those two often correlate very much so. And so we need to take care of our bodies, obviously, our physical health. We also need to take care of our minds. And so having this month dedicated to mental health brings an opportunity for us to talk about it, to help others to understand what they can do to take care of themselves and to cater to their mental health, and ways to get support as well when struggling with mental health. And also, just as Chad said, you know, with our mental health, it's really about, you know, successful mental activity. And so what that really means is our ability to maintain productive daily activities every day, and to have fulfilling relationships with others. The ability to do that is all correlated to our mental health. And that's so important that we're able to do that, and we're able to cope in a healthy way with different stresses that come our way in life.
Great. Okay. Well, what causes mental health issues?
So the cause of mental health issues, as you would guess, are extremely complicated. There's a difference between nurture and nature. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of that, and some haven't. So the idea of the nurture being how we're raised, the situations that we're put in, but also the situations that we start, as we become adults, put ourselves in. And then you have the nature factor. There's the genetic, the biological predispositions that we have genetically. So different risk factors will make those biological dispositions kind of come out of us. Some of us might have a natural disposition to prone to be more depressed or more anxious. And if we're put in an environment that brings that out of us, then it's both nurture and nature. And so the idea for Mental Health Awareness Month is to do things that will help you to bring down the possibility of those natural predispositions to come out, basically being mentally healthy, What are your choices? What are your behaviors that are in your control? What people do you hang out with? What screens do you watch? And we'll get more into that later. But basically, your mental health fitness, are you getting up? Are you going for walks? Are you doing things that are positive for you mentally? Or are you doing the other end? Are you doing those things that might be more negative, not getting enough sunlight, different things like that? And a key thing for mental health issues come about when we're not part of a community. And that's something that is, I find to be extremely important. We're beings that are meant to be in community, and isolation can be really, really unhealthy and bring about mental health issues. So this is a really important topic, especially with COVID and everything going on right now. How can we, you know, being isolated at home, how can we work to still develop community? Who could we reach out to? How can we talk to people? Even though we can't get close to them, there are still other ways that we can still get close to people and still build community and help support other people, including ourselves.
Well, and I was thinking about that, and you touched on that, Chad, was the fact that, you know, with the pandemic in place and really the disconnection that we're all feeling, is that all ties to our social and emotional well-being. And so I'm wondering, what do the symptoms of mental health illness actually look like?
Yeah, so there's, you know, different warning signs that can really indicate that someone is struggling with mental illness. One of them is that they're often feeling very angry or very worried, you know, an excessive amount, and they're not able to cope with those emotions in a healthy way. They're doing reckless things that can harm themselves or others. They are feeling grief for a long time after a loss or death. And grief is normal. And I want to say that there's no timeline for grief, but being able through grief to still have those successful and fulfilling relationships and be able to engage in daily life is important. And so if that's something that one is struggling with, it's going through grief, it's important for them to get the right support to get through that and be able to live a fulfilling life despite the process of grief that they're in. You know, another warning sign is feeling like one's mind is controlled or out of control, using alcohol or drugs to cope. It's so important that we understand that that's not a healthy coping skill, and that can in fact lead to more mental illness. And so it's not going to be a way that would positively affect one's mental health. And so seeing this in a loved one or in yourself could be a sign that you need, you know, more support from a professional to be able to find more healthy ways to cope with what you're going through. Exercising or dieting or binge eating obsessively, when this is done obsessively without balance, that can be an indicator of a mental illness. And then lastly, hurting people, other people, or destroying property can be an indicator that one is struggling with mental illness. And so, you know, another reason why Mental Health Month is so important is because there's often a stigma attached with getting help, you know, where one feels like, well, there's something wrong with me if I have to get help. This is embarrassing. People will think, you know, think differently of me. And we really want to reduce that stigma and let people know, just as it's okay for you to take care of your physical health, it's okay just as much to take care of your mental health. And you shouldn't feel like you need to hide that, because part of humankind is that we need each other in order to do well in life. And that's okay to be able to depend on each other.
Yeah. And I think the stigma going to kind of really back to that too is if you got the flu, you got a cough. And the way that we word that is that you got something outside of self. And if we're talking about depression, a lot of the times we phrase it as I am depressed. Mental health, a lot of the times we categorize it as something as part of who I am. And so there's such a huge stigma on that, and knowing that it doesn't have to be that way. And I think it's what's such an important part of what Mental Health Awareness Month is to break down that stigma, to understand that, you know, if you are, there's a big line of being depressed. You can be a little sad and then you can go all the way to the other end and be like manic depressive. But if you are feeling sad or depressed or wherever you are on that line, it's okay. It's not who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. It might be a piece of where you're at, but remember that you can take that outside of self and you are so much more than that.
Well, and just looking at that, as we probably are coming in contact with people every single day, that are struggling in this area. So what should I do if I know somebody is struggling with their mental health?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that if you find somebody that you think struggling with mental health, is just to let them know that they are not alone. I go back to that community piece, right? And a lot of the times when we're feeling down or we're feeling stressed about something, that we've got to do it alone, or we've got to make this happen. It's all on us. And that community, when we come together to support each other, or it's just, you know, one-on-one, if it's your child, you just put your arm around them, and you don't have to have the answers for everything, right? The answer can just be like, I love you. You're not alone. I'm with you on this. And that's so much to uplift somebody. That's a huge, huge piece. But if it is you who are feeling the illness or the sickness or not feeling right in whatever way in your mind and your heart, find somebody that you trust to talk to. Generally somebody that's an adult, a family member, that's a good person that you know in your heart that they're a good person. Could be a doctor. Us as school counselors, that's what we are here for. It can be a therapist. It could even be your teacher, and your teacher can help direct you or support you. But that there's a lot of people around you that want to help. And we are all here, and we're in this helping profession, this teaching profession, because we care and because we want to help people. And then also working, like, what do you do if you find out that you're struggling with mental health, or the question being that, you know, work on the system around you. You know, if you're a parent and your kiddo's feeling something, what is their home life? What are you doing as the parent? We always say the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but a lot of the times we're a family system. So if a child is showing something, there's a bigger issue to play generally with the family. If a kid's watching too many screens, then us as adults need to model turning off the screens. We need to model the exercise, going out, getting vitamin D, eating healthy. All of those things play a role in your physical health as well as your mental health. And if you don't know what to do, biggest part is educate yourself about the issue. Mm-hmm. If you see something going on, learn. And if you don't know how to learn, reach out to all those people I said, reach out to us as counselors. We're here to help you. And just do one step at a time. You know, if you know you need to go outside, just go outside for 5 minutes a day. Just pick one thing. And Cameron, you always say it's the gratitude, right? Looking around. Where are we looking? Are we looking at the sad, or are we looking at what I don't have, or am I looking at what I do have? And also often we forget to really pay attention to all of the things that we have, which are so many and so abundant and all around us.
It's important to just ask them how they're feeling. Let them know what you're noticing, show them that you care and you're concerned, and ask them, how are you feeling? You seem depressed. You seem anxious. Are you feeling that way? What is going on? I'm here for you. I'm here to help. You know, letting them know that they're not alone is so important.
Absolutely.
And you've each touched on this, just having some healthy coping skills. Is there more information you'd like to share in that area?
Oh yeah, definitely. This is my favorite part whenever I talk about mental health with others, is talking about the different healthy coping skills to improve your mental health, and just things to be aware of personally for yourself and for your loved ones, for you to make sure that you're utilizing in order to serve as a protective factor towards mental illness. So like I said before, you know, our physical health and our mental health are so strongly correlated. And so really making sure that we are taking care of our bodies, we're eating healthy, we are getting the right amount of water intake each day, that we're exercising and taking care of our bodies, that is going to benefit our mental health as well. That's going to produce those endorphins in our body to benefit the way that we feel day to day. So that's something, you know, to do, to take care of yourself, to remember to do in order to benefit your mental health. And then also, you know, when it comes to being a parent, monitoring your youth activities, making sure that they're practicing balance in their lives. That's such an important key that we hold through our organization, is balance, that they're not spending too much time always on screen time or too much time just on academics. So they're making time for socializing with friends, making family time, whatever it is, really just having balance in the different areas of their lives. And then having a sense of community and social support and extracurriculars It's so fulfilling to be part of something bigger than yourself. And that's why community is so great and so important. And so whether that's through your church, whether that's through your school, whether that's through your neighborhood, or recreational activities in your town, it's so important to have that sense of community and strive to be part of a bigger community. And yeah, the next point I wanted to make as far as a healthy coping skill, this one is was found to be the most important in preventing youth suicide, is that they feel close to at least one adult. That can make all the difference. Just having that open door for them to go somewhere and talk to somebody when they need to can make such a difference and impact their life in such a positive way.
When I talk to parents, I always sense after I give them the third or fourth coping skill, they're just drowning and suffocating and I can't listen to another thing to do. Okay, I got to do gratitude. I got to exercise. I got to go eat right. What do I got to do? What I would say is baby steps. One thing at a time. Pick one and start making a habit of it. You know, if things are too busy and rush, and we got all this going on, sit down once a day with your family and everybody pick one thing you're grateful for and just say it to each other. You don't even have to write it down. Just do that once a day. Pick one thing and take that baby step. That would be my recommendation.
Absolutely. Well, as we wind up our time together, are there some additional elements we'd like our parents to know? Maybe even resources on how to connect with one of our site counselors?
Yeah, definitely. We do have a Schoology page for our parents in our organization, and we'll attach that name and access code to this podcast. It's the Counseling Department Schoology Group. And on our Schoology group, we have so many resources on different topics related to mental health, because mental health is obviously such a broad topic. There's so much to unpack within the concept of mental health. And so we have plenty of resources there for our parents to benefit from. If you have a question about mental health and you need support for your child or your family, all of our counselors have outside resources as well to share. And so just sending us an email at counseling@classicalacademy.com. We can definitely point you in the right direction and answer your question and provide support. And then we also had some websites that we wanted to refer others to learn more about mental health. Obviously, MHA, who founded Mental Health Awareness Month, their website will be attached to this podcast. NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, is another great resource on mental illness for us to attach to this podcast. Also, mentalhealth.gov is another resource.
The counseling department for TCA has created a calm room, and that resource is available through what Alyssa was talking about, our counseling department Schoology group. If you ever have any questions, you can't remember all this stuff, just call the school and ask for us. They'll get you in touch with us, and then we can put you in touch with all of those resources and work with you on what specific topic you're working on, your family's working on, your child's working on, and we'll get together with you and partner with you and support you the best that we can.
Awesome. Well, Alyssa and Chad, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.